I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This week, I prayed to God to help me find words to bring that hope, a hope so sorely needed at this time of disease and dis-ease, time of uncertainty and restlessness. Lord, I prayed, help me to write a sermon that feeds your people with the bread of life in days when we are separated from the sacrament of your body and blood. Lord, I prayed, give me a word in due season, as it is written in Proverbs. The Lord's response to me was a bit of a raised eyebrow. God gave me a friendly, are you kidding me? Could there not be a better word than the valley of the dry bones and the raising of Lazarus? Have I not, as usual, done your work for you? God smiled at me. I could feel the loving thump of God's hand on the back of my head as he passed by. If there are any NCIS watchers out there, you'll know that manual act as a denozo. The valley of the dry bones and the raising of Lazarus, two stories that bring us out of death into life, out of sickness into health, out of the desert into the garden. This week, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit and set me down in the middle of the post road. It was full of bones. Darkened storefronts, vacant streets, a lonely library, empty shelves at the CVS. The Lord led me around and it was dry. He said to me, mortal, can these bones live? Can this town live? Can this country live? Can this world live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So I listened for that word as I had been commanded, and this is what I heard. I heard the sounds of doctors and scientists working diligently and feverishly to find medicines and build machinery. I saw healthcare workers walking straight into danger to tend the sick. I saw families walking dogs and riding bikes and enjoying the great outdoors. I read email chains of women unable to be together over their shared task, sharing instead their cares and concerns. I saw people mastering new technologies and churches finding new ways to be church. I saw a pickleball court emerge on my own driveway with painter's tape and creative engineering that used weights and C-clamps and sawhorses to turn an old football agility ladder into a regulation 38-inch height net. I saw the magnolia in the columbarium pop its blossoms and watched a parade of honking cars for a 5-year-old's drive-by birthday party. I saw neighbors greeting neighbors and all of us relearning the deep truth that we are one body. This week, the New York Times ran an online photo essay, I believe it's in print today, titled The Great Empty. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. Photos of our present-day valleys of dry bones. Times Square, the Place de la Concorde, Milan, Tokyo, Sydney, Munich. Of these spaces, the essayist Michael Kimmelman writes, their present emptiness, a public health necessity, can conjure up dystopia, not progress. But promisingly, it also suggests that by heeding the experts and staying apart, we have not yet lost the capacity to come together for the common good. Hear the word of the Lord. We are one body knit together in love. I believe that is the resurrected truth that is growing out of this valley of dry days, and understanding that true good is common good. And then the story of Lazarus. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, puts literal life back into his dry bones. Is this story simply a rubber stamp on what we heard from Ezekiel? Redundant confirmation for us of God's power to bring life out of death? It is that for sure, and we are thankful. For God, we forget quickly, so please keep reminding us of that. But there is more. There is something tender and sweet and hidden in this story. Here we are reminded, not just of God's power, but of Jesus's humanity, his compassion, his understanding and experience even of our trials, our griefs, our sorrows, our confusion. In this story, Jesus weeps at the death of his friend, even as he knows that life will return to Lazarus. And Jesus's weeping makes me weep. For Jesus loves Lazarus and Martha and Mary. He loves his peeps as ferociously as we love ours. He knows what it feels like to be sad and afraid, and he weeps with us. On the inside left page of many a funeral leaflet produced here at St. Luke's, you'll find words from our Book of Common Prayer that describe our understanding of the burial of the dead. These words read in part, "The Liturgy of the Dead is an Easter liturgy. The liturgy, therefore, is characterized by joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This joy," it says, "however, does not make human grief unchristian. The very love we have for each other in Christ brings deep sorrow when we are parted by death. Jesus himself wept at the grave of his friend. So while we rejoice that one we have loved has entered into the nearer presence of our Lord, we sorrow in sympathy with those who mourn." In the story of Lazarus, God's power couples with God's compassion, and this coupling can carry us through all the dry valleys of our lives. I found myself these days, particularly since my mom's facility has closed its doors to visitors, thinking about my parents and grandparents and all those who came before and what they lived through. World wars, ration lines, the Great Depression. I find myself also thinking about my own youth as parents are now navigating online schooling, and how we spent our days, the freedoms we had and those we didn't. I expect it's because this health crisis has put me smack dab in front of my own mortality, as it has each of us. Being in front of our mortality is not comfortable, but it is Lenten. It is suited to this season. My childhood home was a few miles up the road from the Peabody Museum of Natural History and its great hall of dinosaurs. Even as kids, we could take the city bus from the bottom of our street and it would drop us at the front door of the museum. This was a frequent rainy day suggestion, so I can hear my mom now. "Why don't you guys all go to the Peabody?" The Great Hall is a valley filled with dinosaur bones. The showpiece of that great hall is a 60-foot-long brontosaurus skeleton. I think for a while they called it an apatosaurus, back to brontosaurus, but I'm going to check that with our preschoolers, because preschoolers are experts on dinosaurs. Which reminds me that just the other day, I think it was Friday, there was a huge two-page spread in the New York Times, of a coloring page of dinosaurs for kids. So if you're a kid out there, tell your parents to look in the recycling bin. Along the Great Hall's east wall, painted by Rudolf Zallinger, is a huge 110-foot-long, 16-foot-high panoramic mural depicting the lives and times of 32 dinosaur species and other reptiles across a span of 362 million years. We worship a very big God. Zallinger spent more than 4 years painting the Age of Reptiles, and by his art, he put flesh on the bones of every one of those creatures. Well, the Peabody Museum closed this December 31st for renovation. And so now all those millions of bones are back in a dry valley somewhere, dismantled and lifeless. But they will be brought back to life once more. They will be remounted, but they will be remounted into new poses, poses that better reflect current scientific knowledge. Those dinosaurs will live again, not as they had lived before, but no less alive and well and inspiring of wonder. And the same is true for us. We will live together again, soon, I pray. Not probably as we have lived before. Maybe more cautiously, more knowingly, but no less alive and well and inspiring of wonder. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Another gem from Proverbs. Wait on the Lord, in his word is our hope. As we wait, let us take care of one another, for we are one body in Christ. Amen.